previously.
Yeah, because it's very frustrating to not have an answer. Some people feel like they could deal with the consequences better if they just knew why.
We're not asking the patient, do you like your periods? We're just trying to figure out what are they like? In other words, are they regular? There's a big difference between every 25 days and every 35 days.
This is Beyond the Birds and Bees on Austin's Talk 1370.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Natalie Berger on Talk Radio 1370. We are presenting another show, Beyond the Birds and Bees, and I am excited to be here with Jamie Leonard, one of our experienced fertility nurses. But again, we are providers at Texas Fertility Center, located in Central Austin, with offices also in Round Rock and North Austin area as well, too. So we are excited to bring you a new show today, and we're going to be talking about some of the important sort of emotional sides of and issues of the whole fertility evaluation, treatment, and such process. But first of all, I wanted to introduce Jamie. And Jamie, you want to say hello to everyone?
Hi.
Hi. So Jamie graduated from the University of Oklahoma in Norman, Oklahoma in 2005 with a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. She spent a short period of time in the ICU, was it?
Yeah,
for 9 months and decided
months.
That was not your cup of tea.
No.
Doing nights in the ICU. And we've been lucky to have her since 2006 in Texas Fertility Center. So very excited to have her here because she not only has experience with the in vitro fertilization process, but in general, she also was a clinical nurse before she came into her current role as an IVF nurse. So she really has a lot of insight about a lot of aspects of fertility. In addition, she has some personal sides, sides of infertility that she also is interested in talking about. So that's going to be, I think, very helpful for giving us a great perspective on the whole process. But first off, you know, in terms of the holiday season coming about with Thanksgiving behind us and Christmas coming up, we want to talk a little bit about the impact that this can have on our patients. And I'm not sure if it's something that you've noticed recently, but I'm wondering if you, Jamie, wanted to share a little bit about what you see from your side of things.
I think the holidays definitely, you can kind of start seeing it as the holidays start to approach in the patients. And I feel like they feel more stressed. They feel outside pressure. People are asking them when they're going to start their families or what's going on, or if they have a baby, when they're going to have their second child. And so it really puts an added stress to the already stressful season that is around that the holidays bring. And so, you know, patients just have to understand that, or people just have to understand that just because somebody asks you when you're going to start your family, it isn't a personal attack on you. They may just really be interested or trying to start conversation with you. And, you know, you could always tell them that you'll keep them updated and thanks for being interested. But, it's just one of those questions that sometimes comes up in common conversation, but can appear to be hurtful to somebody that's having trouble getting pregnant.
Right. And it's so common around the holidays when family friends are typically getting together anyways. And because there can be so many kid elements in the holidays, especially with Santa Claus and such, it can be a fairly constant and difficult reminder for folks who are having issues with fertility. And it's important, I think, to recognize that it may be something that comes up and to be prepared for those kinds of situations, as awkward as they may be. Most times, I believe your family friends are rooting for you and trying to support you and are just having a difficult time finding the words to say the right thing. So even though sometimes it'd be easier for them to not say anything at all, to understand that if they do say something that's going to not go the right way, to appreciate that at least they were trying, and you know, to acknowledge that they do mean well, and to find a different way, a way to segue from that into something more comfortable. But I think, yeah, it's important certainly to take care of yourself during the holidays. And do you have any recommendations in terms of when people are as stressed as is around the holiday season and are having to deal with also the stresses maybe of their work or traveling or such? Do you have any recommendations as to what people can do to take care of themselves during the holidays, like physically or emotionally?
I mean, I think it's important to try to take everything with a grain of salt and take things day by day and one step at a time. I find especially in terms of when you're going through infertility, people try to, everybody wants to see the big picture, which is sometimes good, but sometimes it's not, because there's so many little details and then you get wrapped up in everything and then you get overwhelmed. And I think it's really important to make sure you're getting enough sleep and that you're eating healthy and you're taking care of all of your needs too. And I always tell my patients, let me worry about the stress of what's going on in your cycle. If you have a question, don't sit at home and stress about it. Just call me. I can help you and we can figure out the best answer. And I think that helps. I also think, and this isn't for everybody, but when I went through some infertility stuff, I did acupuncture because it was the only hour every week that I took for myself completely. There were no distractions. It was just for me. And I would sleep and I would wake up and I would just feel recharged and ready to go. And so, you know, if that's for you, that might help. But doing things for yourself and not forgetting that you're important too and not letting the process consume you, I think is
it's true, because it's so easy for it to consume you with the schedules, the medications, the cost of things. It's so easy for it to get very overwhelming very fast.
Right.
And it's interesting when you mentioned acupuncture. Is it something that you had ever done before, or was this actually the first time that you'd actually experienced anything like this?
I'd never done acupuncture before, but one of the acupuncturists in town had come to our office and done a presentation, and I thought to myself, you know what, I just want to go. And she said the first time she would kind of show us what it was all about, I just want to go and check it out and see what this is all about. And so I did, and she really took the time to sit and get to know me. And so I felt like I had another person to talk to that wasn't at the fertility center that I could pour my heart out to. And then I would feel better afterwards. And it was really great for me.
And it's true. There are some acupuncturists in town specifically that work with a lot of our patients. And these acupuncturists are concentrating on fertility and reproductive acupuncture, in addition, I think, to doing some other types of acupuncture. So I think those individuals especially can be very helpful for our patients, because they understand where our patients are coming from and what their needs are in a lot of cases.
Right. And I mean, I didn't see her solely for infertility, but she would help me with stress, or if I felt like a sinus infection was coming on. They can tweak your treatment however you need. So it doesn't have to be for infertility, but even just for stress, like to go and just have that 1 hour to just kind of get everything out. It just takes it all away. I don't know why, but it worked for me and I really liked it.
So what did it feel like, out of curiosity?
It doesn't hurt. I didn't even feel the needles. And
I realize a lot of our patients are like, needles? I'm already injecting myself 3 times a day. Why would I want more needles?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a needle like you would do your injections. You don't even hardly feel it at all. And I'm not a very relaxable person, I don't think. I have a hard time going to sleep. I'm just not. I'm very type A, and I like to keep going and going and going. And she would do it, and they put like a relaxing music on, and I would be out. It doesn't hurt. It's kind of like you lay on a couch, kind of like you would be at your house, and it's very just comfortable and calming, and it's not bad.
Yeah, sounds certainly very appealing. It's certainly something that might also continue even after fertility treatments if you really find a lot of benefit from it from a stress standpoint.
Right. Yeah.
So, and it's true that we wanted to talk about some of the things that we as your fertility providers would like you to know when we are talking with you, and just little kernels of truth and important things for you to know about. And, you know, one thing that we really want to stress is the fact that even though, you know, you feel like sometimes there are a lot of patients in the waiting room, or you're seeing patients around talking to the other nurses, talking to your nurse, or you may be having to hang on the phone for a few minutes or so waiting for your nurse, we care about you and we take it very personally, your evaluation and treatment, because it is such a personal, intimate experience. And we recognize that this is can have a very profound impact on your family and you. And we really do have a lot of emotions invested. When there are negative pregnancy tests that come up, it's no question that the fact that, you know, certainly the couple, it's going to affect them the most. But we also take it very personally as your providers. And when we have, you know, certain patients that have negative tests, certain patients that we have also, you know, seen go through a lot of treatments, it can be very hard even on the staff, which we don't want you to feel burdened by that, but we want you to understand we do take it very personally when things don't work out.
And I think that, you know, sometimes you may not always feel that way because you may feel like, oh, we have so many patients and we are, you know, having to take care of everyone. But it's true that we do take it very personally. And I'm not sure about you, Jamie, but it's like, I take it home. I take it on the weekend and my husband will be like, why are you still thinking about this? Yeah. We need to move on to other thoughts and such. But it certainly is something that can definitely consume us as well, too, the ups and downs of fertility treatment. So we are not sheltered from that either.
No.
Though no question, you know, the fertility patient and her partner are certainly the affected the most by it. And we realize that, you know, in terms of the patients, we do also have to spread our attention to other patients at times. And I recognize that it can be frustrating for folks who are trying to quickly get a hold of their nurse or the other person involved in their care at the clinic. And we do have to, at times, devote our attention, you know, for some minutes or some hours with other patients, and just to understand that that does happen and we still care very much about you and that we are not ignoring you. We will be getting back to you.
Yeah, we don't leave until all of our work is done. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is we're not at our desks all day long. We are in consults with patients, teaching them how to do their injections or meeting with them and talking about their pregnancy results or whatever the situation might be. But we will always call you back. So if you have to leave us a message, it's not that we didn't get your message. It just might take us some time to call you back. But when we do call you back, our time is yours. We aren't going to hurry you off the phone. We will take our time and answer your questions. And so don't ever feel like we don't have enough time for you. Just because we do have a lot of patients, we will take the time to make sure we answer all your questions.
The interesting thing is we are now open 365 days a year. Now, that means that we are open that many or every single day, basically, for fertility treatments other than IVF, which technically our laboratory does have to have two downtimes during the year, a 2-week period in the summertime and a 2-week period in the wintertime. But otherwise, the clinic is literally open every single day, even Christmas. We don't see new patients every single day, but we do inseminations, ultrasound, and when the IVF lab is open, certainly egg retrievals and embryo transfers. So we have worked hard to make the clinic as accessible, during all the time that we need to be. And so we hope that you will be able to then utilize us and feel very comfortable with the fact that we are readily available. And even when we are not physically in the clinic, for instance, on weekend afternoons or certainly in the evenings and at night when we're not in the clinic, we do have a nurse on call or the physicians themselves. We are all on call 24/7. So there is never not someone on call for you.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing to remember, too. If you ever have a question, don't feel anxious about having to call your doctor or call the on-call nurse. That's what we're here for. We're here to help you, and that's why we have that service, and that's to take the stress out of this already stressful experience.
Right, and it's true. People sometimes wonder, oh, it's 11 o'clock at night, and I just had surgery, and I'm having this weird symptom. I don't know what to do, and I tell patients after surgery, please call. It is so much easier for you to call, get your question answered, and go back to bed than to wonder all night or get in a position where you have to go urgently to the ER if there is a unusual issue going on. So absolutely call. Communication is very important. And we will talk in a few minutes about the different ways we can communicate with you. But again, we are Texas Fertility Center on Beyond the Birds and Bees. And we'll be back with you in a few minutes to talk a little bit more about things we'd like you guys to know about us. Hello, this is Dr. Natalie Berg again on Beyond the Birds and Bees. I'm here with Jamie Leonard, one of our IVF nurses, and we are talking today about different things that we want our patients to know about us as a clinic and as providers. And what I had talked about briefly at the end of the last segment was the fact that communication is so important, you know, between us, and to not, as a patient, to not feel like you shouldn't call your nurse and shouldn't, don't want to bother her with some kind of quote-unquote trivial question, because we've probably heard it, and no question is a bad question. If you have questions about something, please ask us, because we don't want you to assume something and assume something incorrectly. We're definitely here to answer your questions and to help guide you through this, you know, at times quite difficult process. And communication-wise, we actually have a few different ways we communicate with patients. Certainly on the phone, we do communication, but also now we are using email more and more, which can be appropriate in some situations. Some scenarios lend themselves more to a phone call. So it's, you know, those are some areas where you can probably...
If I get an email where I feel like it's either easier or more appropriate for me to call back, I will call. A lot of patients will email because if they're at work and it's uncomfortable because they're in a cubicle environment or somewhere where they don't want somebody to hear what they're asking or what they want to know, then if I call them back, they're out of the cubicle environment, or if they're still there, they're not having to repeat back what I'm saying. And so, you know, they can get the answer that way. I personally prefer to talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. I think so. That's just because it's the way
that I
am.
Email, as good as it is and as efficient as it is, there still can be some nuances that are difficult through email. And to convey things appropriately, it certainly can be very helpful to be on the phone in real time. But we can communicate via email as well, too, if needed. And as we were talking about, you know, before, it's really important to ask us any questions that come up, because we've probably heard it before, no matter how silly you think it is or how embarrassed you are about it. It is important to be very honest and straightforward about everything. We don't want something to come up and adversely affect your treatment and outcome just because you felt concerned about giving that information to your nurse.
And I think what happens when patients don't ask questions, then they go to the internet. And so that creates a whole nother problem, because Dr. Google doesn't always know everything. And so they'll read some information that seems like it's true and appropriate online, but then when they call us, it's not true, or it doesn't apply to them, or it was a completely different situation. So I think that kind of creates more problems. So if you call, we can give you, you know, a straightforward, correct answer that you can go by and not have to do all the internet research that may or may not be correct.
Right. Yeah, it's really important to do that. And certainly if you feel somehow awkward or embarrassed to ask your doctor specifically, please ask your nurse. And you can tell her, even say, I'm so embarrassed by this. You know, I just need to know the answer. And you may even say, gosh, if it's not necessary to tell the doctor your name, and if your nurse can present it as a general question, you know, there are some ways to try to make things more anonymous or so. But it's important to be upfront with your fertility providers, because we want to take the best care of you and obviously give you the best chance of success that we can. And talking about the internet, we know that it can be very much a mixed bag in terms of information. Certainly there are some very good sites on the internet, and it can provide a very helpful and yet anonymous support for individuals who otherwise feel uncomfortable being in support groups in which they actually are in the physical presence of other individuals going through fertility issues and treatments. So if they're wanting a anonymous type of support, the internet can be very helpful. However, the kind of information that you glean from this can be very mixed. And what may have worked for your friend Mary in Arizona at clinic XYZ may be completely inappropriate for you. So it's not unreasonable to question, you know, not to question, but to wonder, you know, with your physician if there's any potential benefit of a certain treatment or idea. But certainly do not assume that whatever is working for an individual in a completely different scenario would work for you as well, too. Because we hear that a lot, and especially with the explosion of communication on the internet, I realize that the chat rooms and the bulletin boards and everything else are very active, and I can understand the need for it, but it's important to be aware of the potential cons of getting information from the internet.
When I went through some of the infertility treatments, I found, you know, I had nobody to talk to, because it's hard. Even people that I would work with, although they have experience in infertility, you don't understand it on a personal level until you've really been through it yourself. Like, I didn't even want to talk to my mom. I didn't want to let anybody know what was going on. So I would, sometimes it's comforting to see other people online kind of going, you know, telling about what they did or what they found, and it's important to take that information and research it and then ask if that applies to you. Mm-hmm. 'Cause if you start assuming, then you're going to think you have every problem in the world wrong with you. And I kind of found that myself. It's a fine line of knowing too much, because we see everything. So then I would try to apply all these different conditions to myself, and that's not always very healthy and productive. But it is important to find support where you can find it. Just make sure that you're not self-diagnosing and coming up with all these things that really don't apply to you.
In terms of like medical information, did you find any particular websites that were helpful in terms of giving clinical information, or not so much?
Somewhat. I mean, I knew a lot of it, but in terms of good clinical information, I think Mayo Clinic is good because it's very clear cut and to the point. And WebMD has some good information. You have to be careful. If you search infertility, I mean, you're going to get chat rooms that pop up and all different kinds of stuff. So you have to be really selective in what you look at.
And then the Resolve website can be helpful for more of a also clinical as well as emotional support.
Yeah, I think the Resolve website is really great, and they do offer some chat room things. You can join the group, but I know for the holidays, there's a whole article on there that discusses like coming up with a plan and what you would do and have it all worked out in your head, so if it does happen, you know how to react. It's helpful things like that that really do help.
So how to react to comments that are more hurtful and are intended well by family and friends, but come out just a little awkwardly.
And they talk about having like an exit plan. So if it gets really awkward, you know, you can just give the signal to your significant other, and that means, yep, it's time to go. I mean, if it gets to that point, it talks about just different ways to cope with things that people say that they don't mean to hurt your feelings, but they really do.
And the website for Resolve, is it www.resolve.org?
Gotcha. If you Google Resolve, it'll pop. You'll find it. Pop up.
That's great. Yeah. And just be aware that not all the information on the internet is going to be relevant or appropriate or even correct. And, you know, another thing that we definitely see a lot is couples who come forward for fertility evaluation treatment and are very set on the idea of having two babies at once. It is very common for us. And I realize there may be a lot of reasons. A, fertility treatment's expensive. And it's sort of annoying also to have to endure this expensive treatment when you are looking all around you and everybody else around you seems to be getting pregnant for free. And you feel like, gosh, I deserve to have two at once because I'm actually paying for this and everybody else gets it for free. Another thing may be that people are thinking it's taken us so long to get to this point. My fertility isn't getting any better over time. I want to ensure I have multiple children. Thus, I want to have two at once. Or two kids, wow, it's so cute to have twins, twin stroller, twin outfits. They'll have each other when they're growing up. I can understand there are a lot of reasons why people would think this is a great idea to come in with the idea that you definitely want to have two at once. And how do you feel about that when people say that?
Well, I have twins myself, and I was shocked when I found out we were going to have them. I did Clomid, and so the chances were really low that we would have multiples. It's definitely not as cute and as easy as you think. It's a lot of work, and there's days when I feel like I gave one more attention than the other, and I have a lot of guilt because of that. And my pregnancy was a lot more complicated with the twins, so there's a lot of things you have to think about. Because you don't know what it's like until you have it. And I also have a son, and I thought, well, I have one child, now I have twins, I can do this, I know what this is going to be like. And they totally rocked my world. And not that twins are, it's not good to have twins, but I think, you know, one at a time is our goal, because that's the healthiest for the mom and the baby at the end of the day.
Because we know that twins commonly occur, their deliveries occur about a month earlier than singletons, but sometimes they can occur a lot earlier. And unfortunately, we've both had patients who have had twin deliveries even before the twins would be viable, so around 20, 22 weeks of pregnancy, when a full-term pregnancy is around 40 weeks. And that's the most tragic scenario to be in, to have a otherwise healthy twin pregnancy ongoing, and then even before they get to viability, to have the delivery of the twins. So that's a pretty devastating position to be in. We also realize that twin pregnancies have a higher chance of high blood pressure for the mom, diabetes for the mom, as well as some other issues that can come up. And so really, singleton pregnancies are our goal. We do realize that most fertility treatments do increase somewhat your chances of having twins. It depends upon which one you're doing as to how much more it's increased. And there can even be an increase in triplets or higher. So it's not just even twins that we're talking about. Triplets and higher gets even much more concerning regarding the safety of the pregnancy and the health of the mom as well, too.
So our ultimate goal, even though not everybody wants to hear it, is actually one baby at a time. But we do recognize that we are certainly going to have our share of twins as well, too, with fertility treatments.
Right.
And yeah, twins are great. I mean, I'm a twin, too, so I'll put the plug in for twins. But one at a time is by far the ultimate goal. And we are trying, as we are, you know, evaluating your situation and giving you treatment, to really tailor your treatment to your specific situation. It can be hard at times when we are talking about options of treatment and not focusing on treatments that you otherwise would want to consider. Like, for instance, if you are 42 years of age and you've come in to talk about Clomid, which is a medication, an oral medication, which is relatively inexpensive. It is an easily taken medication for most people. And, you know, you've had friends taking it and had pregnancies. Why wouldn't it be a good treatment for you? Well, as you know, age can certainly play a huge part in terms of fertility, and that is not typically a medication that we really would recommend in certain age groups because the success rate is going to be so low. So we are trying really to give you the best treatments for your situation. And, you know, if you are frustrated with us for not presenting certain treatments, please understand that we're not trying to have you spend your resource and such on expensive treatments if they're not working. We want to do something that's going to bring you success, a viable pregnancy, a healthy child, and to not waste your time, resources, emotions on treatments that are not likely to work.
Yeah, and that's one of the hardest things for the nurses, I feel like, is we want to be upfront and honest with you, too. And so if you ask my opinion, I'm going to tell you whether I think it's a good option or not a good option. And it may not be what you want to hear. But again, our goal is to get you that healthy baby that you have dreamed of. And, you know, sometimes it takes some time to kind of adjust to the recommended treatment. And we want you to take as much time as you need. If you need to talk to somebody outside of the center to discuss it with them, you know, we're more than happy to get you connected with those people. That's probably one of the hardest parts of my job is to tell people, you know, no, I don't think that treatment would work. Really, this is going to give you the best success, because sometimes it's telling people what they don't want to hear.
Especially when it's, you know, not using their own eggs. When we're saying your chances of using your own eggs with even the best treatment may be less than 1%. You know, we're not trying to, you know, take away options for you, but we need to be very realistic and honest, because we're not doing you a favor if we are somehow inflating inappropriately the success rate of a certain treatment.
Yeah, I had somebody just recently tell me that I crushed their fertility dreams because I told them that they donor would most likely, it was just what the doctor had said, but I was kind of reiterating that I really thought the donor route would be the best. And the way that I like to kind of talk to my patients is sometimes you really have to ask yourself, what's more important, having a baby or having a baby with part of your genes? And if the answer is having a baby, then you've answered your question. And that baby, since donor is so unique because you carry that baby, so that there's already that bond. Unlike when you adopt, you don't carry that baby, you don't have that bond, and that baby won't know any different unless you tell them. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's pretty special, because that was one of the most special things for me, is when you carry that baby and feel them move. Mm-hmm. It kind of brings you closer.
That's a huge experience.
Yeah.
So in any case, we're going to be wrapping up this segment, and we'll be talking in the next segment a little bit more about Jamie's personal experiences with the infertility process. Again, this is Dr. Natalie Berger on Beyond the Birds and Bees. Hello again, this is Dr. Natalie Berger with Texas Fertility Center on Beyond the Birds and Bees. And again, I'm here with Jamie Leonard, one of our fertility nurses, and we have been talking about things that it's important for our patients to know. Now we're going to actually segue into something a little bit more personal, and that's Jamie's personal experience with the whole infertility process. And Jamie, when was it that you realized that you might actually yourself be an infertility patient?
Well, my husband and I, we got married, I think I was 22, and then I started working at Texas Fertility Center, and it really kind of made me realize, wow, infertility really is a big problem. And you would see people that were my age coming in having problems getting pregnant. And I just thought, I don't want to wait any longer. Mm-hmm. And John and I just kind of looked at each other and we're like, well, what else do we have? You know, we've been married. We've kind of done the whole going out and having fun and doing all that. And so we decided it was time to start our family. And we had been trying for about 6 or 7 months and nothing was happening. And we were making each other crazy. And so I went and saw my OB mm-hmm. and he put me on Clomid. And then I got pregnant the second try with Clomid for mm-hmm. Connor. Mm-hmm. And then after Connor, I had Connor and things were good. And then I got pregnant on accident 6 months after he was born. And then we had a miscarriage mm-hmm. and that was probably one of the hardest things ever. We went in and saw the heartbeat and things were good. And then a week later it was gone. Mm-hmm. So, that was really, really, really tough on me, and my family. And then, I got pregnant again, October, of, I guess it was 2008 and, or 2007, I can't remember. And, it was an ectopic pregnancy, and I knew.
Goodness, so you had your fair share of of issues, yeah.
And that was hard too, and then Dr. Hansard actually had to do surgery to fix my tube because I started mm-hmm. bleeding out in the office, and mm-hmm. then I got pregnant with the girls a couple cycles after that on mm-hmm. Clomid. So I've kind of been through the infertility part and the miscarriage part, and
the two pregnancy parts.
I've just kind of.
You have the full spectrum.
Yes.
Yeah. So certainly you have a unique perspective in terms of nursing because you can understand a lot of the emotions that our patients are going through.
Right. And I think it's made me definitely after I had the miscarriage, I feel like it really totally changed my perspective on things. I don't know why, but it really hurts me to have to call patients and tell them that they're not pregnant or to have to tell them that they're pregnant, but I'm not sure if it's going to be a viable pregnancy or not because the numbers are low, or to have to call and give somebody bad news because I've been on the receiving end of that. Mm-hmm. And so I know what that feels like and just how horrible that could be. You're waiting on pins and needles to get that phone call and then it's not good news. That's really, really, really tough.
So is there anything that you know now that you wish you had known more then, or anything that comes to mind in terms of?
I wish I would have just gone with the flow a little bit more and not been so hung up on, well, now we're doing this. Well, what's next? If this doesn't work, what are we going to do next? Because I always wanted to know what was next so that I could prepare myself for whatever I was doing not to work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just part of going through the peaks and valleys of infertility. You always want to have something else to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And so I wish I just kind of would have listened and just kind of relaxed and gone with the flow a little bit better and not got so hung up on the small stuff. It really did cause a little bit of problems between me and my husband just because I was so stressed out about it. And he's very laid back and go with the flow. And so he didn't want to listen to me mm-hmm. talk about that 24/7. So that became.
Do you have a sense, like, how did he cope with things? Did he talk to anyone or did he sort of keep it inside or?
He kept it all inside. Mm-hmm. We would talk a little bit, but he would get exhausted with talking with me. And so he just kind of kept it all inside. I don't think he talked to anybody.
Mm-hmm. And it's true. We've talked about it in different shows before, like how men approach infertility issues is so different than women in a lot of cases. Not to generalize, but it tends to be, you know, the men tend to keep it inside, women tend to want to talk, and it can be especially frustrating, like when she's trying to talk and he doesn't want to talk about it, and then she's like, well, who am I going to talk about it with? Because I don't necessarily feel always comfortable talking to family and friends who are not having issues. And
right.
That's why these support groups can be so helpful for women who are needing to talk to the people who are going through it, just to know that the person that they're talking to understands. They don't have to explain what it's like. To be invited to 3 baby showers in one day and, you know, be dealing with infertility.
Right.
How stressful that can be.
I felt like my husband wanted to fix it. Like that.
So
he
common.
He wanted to fix it and there was nothing he could do to fix it. And I think that's where he would get frustrated. He wanted to make me happy, but there was nothing he could do mm-hmm. to change what was happening. And so that made it tough too.
Gotcha. Now, in terms of the Clomid itself, how did you feel on that medication? It's true that Clomid is a very commonly used fertility medication. It's been around for 30 plus years. It is very inexpensive relative to a lot of the other fertility treatments that we use. It's not appropriate for every fertility scenario or infertility scenario, so you have to be aware of that. But one of its downsides can be side effects, and I'm wondering, did you have any issues with that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I felt crazy. Uh-huh. I was not a very happy person, and I was very snappy, which is not my personality at all. I'm pretty much kind of go with the flow, and eventually everybody has their breaking point, but I was quick to react on the Clomid, and mm-hmm. I even told my husband, if this one cycle doesn't work, I'm not doing this again, because mm-hmm. I can't.
And it's true. People are going to have different reactions to Clomid. Some people do just fine on it. Some people will find that they will want to try something different because their side effects are so profound in terms of mood effects. A lot of times, sometimes bloating or headache or other things. So there are different options as well, too, that you might consider if you're having a lot of symptoms from the Clomid. There's not just one fertility medication. And it's interesting, some of the more, quote, aggressive fertility medications, because they are actually the same hormones you have in your body anyways, which Clomid is not a hormone that you have naturally in your body. But some more aggressive medications that are actually injection medications, people have far fewer mood symptoms from them. So it's interesting that people perceive them as much more aggressive, but in reality, they feel much better when they're taking them.
And I get that question a lot with talking with patients, and especially patients' partners. They'll always ask me, so what is this going to do to her mood, or how is this going to make her feel? And I, you know, it's kind of fun because the injections are, produce estradiol, which is estrogen in your body. So typically you don't see the mood changes. They're pretty happy. Mm-hmm. They might be a little stressed, but they're happy. Whereas the Clomid, yeah, it can just make you different.
Yeah.
Sure.
And, you know, that actually it reminds me of another question that people sometimes ask about, or issues that people ask about, because sometimes people have seen somebody else at a different clinic, or they'll have seen a different physician in our practice, and they'll be like, wait a minute, like, that doctor did this way, and my doctor is doing it this way. Or we're using something completely different in terms of medication that we use in a different clinic in, you know, Oklahoma or Massachusetts or something. So it is very common for us, even within the same clinic, to have questions about, you know, why one doctor does it one way and one doctor does it a different way, and that they both can be right, and it's okay. It can be confusing sometimes for the patient, but it doesn't mean there's actually a right way and a wrong way. There can actually be multiple ways to go about the fertility treatment.
Right, and we see that a lot, and patients will come from different centers or change doctors, or even just have friends that see another fertility doctor, and we'll say, well, they're doing this, this, and this. Well, that's okay, but doesn't mean that one way is right, or, you know, the right way. There's always a different approach to everything that you do, and that's what's so hard for people with infertility is you want a clean-cut answer to what's going on, and there's not always a specific answer.
So challenging, especially I think for the folks who are very mathematical, scientific, want very black and white answers. And like you're saying, there are not necessarily these answers in fertility. There are some scenarios which seem fairly obvious in terms of treatment, but there are other ones, and certainly unexplained infertility, which is really frustrating. You know, we're having issues with fertility. We can't say exactly what the issue is. We have treatments for them, but it's the knowledge, people just want to know exactly why these things are happening and occurring, and we don't always have the exact answer. But the good news is certainly we do have treatments that can be very successful in a lot of these cases. But if you're looking for a very black and white answer, then medicine in general is not the good field for you. But we will get you through it. It is, it can be, yeah, definitely tough to not have the answer in every single case. And it can be especially tough when we tell you that the odds are very good of a treatment working and it may not work the first time. And then it's like, well, gosh, if it didn't work then, why would it ever work again?
Right.
Like, why would I bother doing another IVF cycle if it didn't work? And that, I think, can be really tough when we're doing like the treatment, the most successful treatment that we have to offer using your own eggs. And if the first try doesn't work, people are, you know, devastated for a lot of reasons, but also, you know, they've now feel like, gosh, why would it ever work in the future?
Right. What's next? What am I supposed to do next? If this didn't work, why would it work the next time? And I always tell people that, you know, your success rate is the same for your first three cycles. So sometimes it's just doing it again and finding the right sperm and the right egg and making it happen. And it is tough. And you have to find support to mm-hmm. reach out to help you through this process. And, you know, the nurses and the doctors are always willing to listen to you. But it is very important to find people to talk to you about what you're going through. People that understand, not just your best friend. Although she's your best friend and you love her dearly, she may not truly understand because she hasn't experienced it before. And that's what I found.
Yeah. And also, certainly, we have scenarios in which people are not revealing the whole truth.
like your friend may have had fertility treatment and gotten pregnant and not necessarily disclosed the amount of treatment that required or the fact that she used donor egg instead of her own egg. And that's certainly very personal information. So, you know, she shouldn't need to disclose to everyone how she had her family, but to be aware that you may not always know every single detail about your friend's fertility treatment, and thus you cannot make every assumption based upon that.
Yeah, it goes back to taking everything with a grain of salt. Same thing when people try to give you advice, you kind of listen and you are polite, but you don't always have to necessarily do or believe what they tell you. And I think that's really important too.
And it's true with the fertility treatment process, it's certainly normal to have ups and downs in terms of mood. And you know, people react differently, but it's very common to have episodes of being very sad, very angry, being depressed at times, irritated, mad at the world. And those are all very common and even okay and normal to have in pieces, in segments. But if you are feeling for prolonged periods of time these very strong emotions, it may certainly be time to talk to someone else. And we've discussed the fact that there are these, there's actually a Resolve group in town that they have a support network. And we also have our own peer support group. And when did they meet again?
It's the third Wednesday of every month. Mm-hmm. For this month, it'll be at the Dell Jewish Community Center in room 226. But starting in January, we are going to do it at the office just because I think it's easier.
Mm-hmm. And there are actually even some counselors in town as well, too. If you're not feeling comfortable talking to a group of individuals, there are a few counselors in town, some of whom have even personally experienced the infertility treatment process. So they especially have an understanding as to where our patients are coming from. But it's really, it can be very, very helpful just to get your thoughts out there, because you might be surprised at how strongly you feel about things that you may not have verbalized before. And also can be helpful for your partner to hear about it as well, too, because they may not understand exactly what's on your mind. But in any case, we have enjoyed talking with you. Again, this is Dr. Natalie Berger, and I've been talking with Jamie Leonard, one of our infertility nurses. And we are on Beyond the Birds and Bees. So we're looking forward to talking to you next week for another segment of Beyond the Birds and Bees. And again, we are on Talk Radio 1370.